Have you ever been so doubtful, confused, and dejected about the most important things in life that you could barely function? That was the situation of two men late on Easter Sunday afternoon who were walking from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles away. Only one of the two men is identified by name in the gospel today. He is called Cleopas, and some ancient authorities identified him as a brother of Saint Joseph, adoptive father of the Lord Jesus. But whoever he was, Cleopas and his companion were debating as they walked and trying to sort out the outrageous and unbelievable claim that Jesus, whom they knew had died on Friday afternoon, was alive on Sunday morning. As they walked and talked, a stranger joined the two men on the road and asked them about their conversation. Luke tells us that at his question, the two men stopped walking. They just stopped in the road and looked downcast. They were momentarily paralyzed by unutterable sadness because they had believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the long-awaited Messiah who would redeem Israel. But at the instigation of their chief priests, Jesus was falsely accused, turned over to pagans, condemned to death, and executed in the agonizing and humiliating way preferred by Imperial Rome: crucifixion. From the details these men gave to the unknown traveler, it is obvious that they knew Jesus well, and that they also knew the 12 and the other disciples who followed the Lord. And let's assume for the moment that Cleopas was indeed the brother of Mary's husband, Joseph. Cleopas would have known Jesus his entire life. Why then did these two men not recognize Christ the very instant he joined them on the way? St. Luke tells us, "And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him." It seems that the risen Lord veiled himself and deliberately kept these men from recognizing him, someone they knew intimately, precisely so that they and we could learn how to see Jesus in the means by which he would unveil himself and remain present in his church from that day until the last day. And those means are the inspired word of God in Holy Scripture and the seven sacraments of the new and everlasting covenant, chief among which is the breaking of bread, the most holy Eucharist. When the two men on the road explained to Jesus why they were confounded by the events in Jerusalem, he gently rebuked their lack of faith before teaching them where to find a sure guide in their perplexity. "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then St. Luke tells us, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures." In other words, the Lord Jesus taught these two disciples that they could not recognize the Messiah unless they knew and understood the law and the prophets, or what we now call the Old Testament. Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ, in the Old Testament no less than in the New. One of the very best ways to secure our own faith and to help others find saving faith in the Lord Jesus is for all of us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. After the two men recognized Jesus at the end of this Emmaus encounter, they exclaimed, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the Scriptures to us?" That is the fire of the Holy Spirit, which opens our hearts and minds to receive the inspired, living, and active Word of God with saving faith as the supernatural gift of divine revelation. Then Luke tells us that as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus gave the impression that he was going on farther. This point is crucial for all Christian discipleship. The Lord Jesus never forces himself on anyone. He never barges into our lives. Christ is, of course, the eternal Word by whom and for whom all things were made. He is the Pantocrator, the ruler of the universe. But he will not force himself on anyone, because that would make us his slaves rather than his friends. So Christ waits for their invitation and ours. Stay with us. And only then does he come in. We all know someone whom we love who is not yet a Christian, and we pray for their conversion. Perhaps they are even already baptized, but now living as though Jesus Christ is not Lord. And this pierces our hearts. But Christ will not force himself on anyone. Even as he waits, though, for an invitation to come in, the Lord Jesus does open willing hearts and minds to receive the truth of the gospel by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we can be instruments of that grace by helping others come to understand the Holy Scriptures through study and prayer. Still, each and every person is free to say, "Stay with us," or not. And so Christ waits. On Easter Sunday evening, when the two disciples asked Jesus to remain with them, the Savior went into the house, and at table he repeated the actions of the Last Supper from the previous Thursday. He took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to them. In that instant, they both recognized him, and he was immediately taken from their sight. Once we know Christ in the sacred scriptures, then even in the absence of his risen human body, we can and do see the Lord Jesus in the most holy Eucharist. And then we can rejoice in the friendship of the risen Christ and follow him in the way of the cross as witnesses to his divine glory. But once we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we cannot keep that good news to ourselves. Despite the late hour and the 7 miles, the two disciples in Emmaus set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two men recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Our personal experience of the risen Lord Jesus always comes from and leads back to his church, which is the steward of both the scriptures and the sacraments. And in the church, the authentic touchstone of the proclamation of the gospel is the witness of Simon, the rock on whom the church is built. The apostolic authority to teach, sanctify, and govern the church has been from the very day of Christ's resurrection the guarantor that in word and sacrament we meet and adore the true Lord, rather than get lost in our own ideas about who Jesus is or should be to suit our own preferences. But many people today, and sadly not a few of them bishops and priests, refuse to accept the church's authority and witness as the faithful servant and teacher of the gospel, because they want a Christ different than the one found in the scriptures. They want a Christ who thinks just as they think and who teaches precisely what they regard as wisdom. But that is not revealed religion. That is simply idolatry clothed in false piety, and it is not the way of the Lord Jesus. Friends, it is folly to imagine that we can truly know and love the Lord Jesus apart from his unveiling of himself in the church, the Bible, and the sacraments. And even when the church is in chaos, as she is today and has been at many other times in our history, even when the church is in chaos, the pattern of authentic Christian discipleship established by the Lord himself remains the same in every age. And that pattern is found only in the sacred scriptures and the apostolic tradition, which together constitute a single divine deposit of faith, which is transmitted and interpreted only by the church's teaching office, exercised by the College of Bishops, with and under its head, the successor of St. Peter, the Bishop of Rome. Notice that when the two men rushing back from Emmaus arrived in Jerusalem, they found the 11, not the 12. Judas betrayed Jesus and then murdered himself. But even the abject failure and faithless despair of an apostle does not diminish the power of the church's witness to the resurrection. And so, while the many failures and infidelities of bishops and priests should always disappoint us, those sins should never cause us to doubt the risen Lord or the witness of his church, which he commissioned to teach the gospel to all nations, to bring about repentance of sins and saving faith in him, the Word of God made flesh. In the first lesson today from chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, we read from St. Peter's first proclamation of the risen Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost. Simon, who on Good Friday ran for his life and denied three times even knowing the Lord, 50 days after the resurrection, the same man stood forth boldly as Peter, the rock. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the apostles stood forth in Jerusalem, explained the meaning of the scriptures, and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ with the conviction and power that would carry the church in one generation from a single room in Jerusalem to the ends of the empire. And that same urge to proclaim the salvation of the world by Jesus Christ should fill the hearts of everyone who recognizes the Lord Jesus in the Holy Scriptures and in the Holy Eucharist. Because Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.